Each January, for those of you who have been here a long time, you know that each January I take a Sunday to share some vision with you, and always just trying to keep the vision of the church, the mission of the church in front of us, and also to give what some of you have called the state of the church address, kind of like that. And so I'd like to do that today. This will be a little bit of a different message, and so not typical of what I normally would do. And also next week, I'm going to restart our series, Social Justice and the Gospel. And I don't think that topic could be any more relevant. And so we're going to be taking some time to look at that starting next week, or restarting that, because that got interrupted in the fall. And I just want to say, I ask for your prayers as I continue to prepare for that. And also for us as a church, I ask for your prayers as we go through such a needed and yet so turbulent of a topic. And so would you really just commit to praying for us as we go through that? But today we're going to focus on our mission and vision. And our mission as a church says that we exist to make disciples that make disciples. And the disciples that we're seeking to make are those that that want to honor and glorify Christ in all that they do, in every phase of their life. And our vision says that we desire to be a worshiping church, a growing church, and a serving church. And so what that means is as a church, we're looking to have people. This is all about people. We want people who understand what it means to worship God and are engaged in the worship of God. We want people who understand what it means to grow in Christ and are engaged in the process of growing in Christ. And we want people who understand what it means to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit and who are engaged in the process of serving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today's message is going to focus on the serving aspect of our vision, the serving aspect. Because as a church, one of the things that we do, you've heard, I am sure, from one of our other pastors or one of our other ministry leaders, you have probably been asked to pray about serving in some capacity. And the reason we do that is because we believe that God has called each of us to serve. But what are we looking for in those who serve? Like, what are the qualifications? What are we looking for as far as the makeup of the person when we say we want you to serve? What are the qualifications, the prerequisites for that? You might think that you need to lead like Moses, have the courage of Joshua, the power of Elijah, the teaching of Paul, the apostleship of Peter. And if that's the case, I think we're all in trouble, right? I mean, we're not looking for that. And I think a lot of times we disqualify ourselves because we imagine some qualification list that we don't measure up to. I think the reality is that none of us would measure up to that, and we'd all be in trouble. We're not looking for the next Billy Graham, the next Johnny Erickson Tata. We're just looking for people who are willing to serve. To accomplish the mission the Lord has given us, we need people who are willing to serve. People who are, of course, biblically fit to serve. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. What does it look like, especially for Fellowship Church? What are we looking for when we think of being fit to serve? And I'm going to share that specifically today. But before I do, I'm just going to ask God to bless and lead us as we look into his word. So would you pray with me as I do that? Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together today in worship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to worship together, to be encouraged. And now, Lord, to also hear from your word. And we humble ourselves before you. And we ask you, God, to speak through your word into our hearts and into our minds. Because we need that. All of us do. We need to hear from God. My hope is that everyone who has come here has come for that purpose, not just to hear from what someone thinks, but to hear from God himself. And we thank you, God, that you have chosen to reveal yourself. And one of the ways you do that is through the preached word. And so we thank you for that, and we ask you to do just that. Reveal yourself to those who are here in this building and to those who are watching us online. Would you accomplish your purpose and will through this time in Jesus' name? Amen. So before we get into more specifically what it looks like to be fit spiritually to serve, I want to share just a little bit about where we are as a church, and especially over the last year. In January of 2020, I shared with you about our 2020 vision, and you might remember this graphic, and you might even remember these magnets that we gave out in January of 2020. January of 2020 might seem like 10 years ago right now. I promise you it wasn't, but it might feel that way. At that time, we were talking to you about what we were planning to do in 2020. Isn't that funny to think about? Because many of those plans did not come out the way we expected, and I'm sure yours did not either. But our 2020 church budget had a significant increase in 2020. We had asked all of you to commit before the Lord. We looked at Scripture, and we saw that Scripture has taught us what it means to give, and we asked you to commit to 1/10 of your income as kind of a bottom base of just what it is that you're going to give to the Lord and to your church and to the Lord's work, your tithe. And what we said is we're going to need that for us to fulfill the vision that we believe God has for us as a church in 2020. We even had our elder chair, Lee Pyatt, share and send out a video at the beginning of the year to all of you, kind of sharing more about what it is that we're doing as a church. And then COVID hit, and the world changed, and everything stopped. Stores, restaurants, churches, businesses all shut down. And yet, by God's grace, all of you that are here in this room, and many of you that are not here in this room but watching online, you just continued to give to your church. And through your faithfulness, our giving in 2020 somehow, in a miraculous way, surpassed the increased budget that we had put forward for 2020. And that happened in the midst of a pandemic. And so we just want to give praise to God for that. It really is truly amazing. It's not the story, I can tell you, of most churches in 2020. God has been faithful, and you have been faithful. And in spite of the pandemic, what we did is we just continued to move forward with ministry. You know, we met and we talked and we said, okay, you know, all those plans we had for 2020, scrap those. What do we need to do now with what life has thrown at us, and how do we respond in a way that God has called us to respond? And so we did that. We started talking about the different things that we needed to do. We adjusted. We had previously added, as part of our 2020 plan, we had added a part-time staff member in Judy Harvey, a role that was dedicated to next generation ministry. And of course, your giving to the church supported that role. And we're thankful for Judy and the role that she's played, and even what we're continuing to do in next gen ministry. We also in 2020 added a college ministry director, Nick Forrester. And we were glad that Nick brought his wife, Laura, with him to fellowship. And they were able together to lead a successful transformational ministry to college students. And those of you that are either here as college students or watching online, I know that you can testify to that. But again, your faithfulness in giving is what allowed that. 2020 was also to be the start of the new roles of our pastoral staff. But again, COVID kind of adjusted that. But in the midst of that, Pastor Tim and his team, they were able to continue the recently launched 411 classes so that our new families could get connected to our church. Some of you have already been through those. We also had to significantly increase our outreach ministries during the pandemic. More and more people were coming to our food pantry as a result of what was happening in the world around us and the impact of the pandemic. And so we needed to revamp what we were doing and our entire approach. And we did. And we did because all of you as a church responded, and many of you got involved and served and came and volunteered, and you came to the food pantry and you ministered to people who were coming to this church because they needed food. And you were a part of how we as a church were able to give them that food. And so we thank all of you for that, and the teams that continue to come out each week to serve those who are coming to our church for food. This pandemic also meant that our worship services needed to be streamed online and like that very quickly. Something we had not done before. Yeah, we recorded them and we put them on the website, but we had never done the live stream. And so Pastor Carl and the tech team and the worship team responded very quickly, very professionally, and made that happen. And our worship and our tech teams continued to serve throughout the pandemic, which was why you were able to watch what we were doing here and while you were still at home. And so again, that was because people were serving, committed to the mission and to the vision of the church. Pastor Carl has also been working on our plan and approach for spiritual development, your spiritual development as a church. We want to see disciples made. We're committed to that, and we're going to work with you to do that. Pastor Tim continues to work on increasing our ministry outreach to the community, and that is going very, very well. We're thankful for the opportunities that God has given us, and also our ministry of mobilization. And you may wonder and ask, well, what is the ministry mobilization? What is that? Well, for us, mobilization is our intentional emphasis on identifying the skills, talents, abilities, and gifts of our people, and then mobilizing those people for ministry service according to their respective talents, abilities, and gifts. And so really what that means is that we're trying to recognize the people that God has brought to us and get to know them, understand how they're wired, how they're gifted, the skills they have, come alongside them and then release them into the ministry that God wants them to be involved in. And we're just calling that process mobilization because we're mobilizing people for service to God. And we believe, again, that that is part of the call of the pastors of churches, according to Ephesians 4:11, that we are to be equipping the people of God for the works of service. And so our goal is to do this for each and every person in our church. And we're working as a staff towards that end. And so all of these ministry opportunities, and there are so many more, I couldn't list for you. I'd have to spend the whole time talking about just the different ways that God has been moving and working in our church. And many of you are involved in areas where you could speak to it probably better than I could. But God is at work in so many different ways. But those are the reasons for you to continue giving and supporting our church as you have, as you did last year. I would like to again ask all of you who call Fellowship Church home to support, again, the mission and the vision of the church. And if you've not already done so, biblically looking at the scriptures and giving 1/10 of your income to the church, your tithe, that's kind of a starting point for many. Offerings go above that. But we also want to welcome those of you who say, Fellowship Church is my new home. And we want you to join with us in this ministry and service to the community, to those in the church around us, and to this kind of generous and very sacrificial giving to the Lord's work in a world and in a community that needs the church to be the church. I think we would say there's always a time, isn't there, to say that the church, this is the time for the church to really be the church. But doesn't it feel like now is the time for the church to really be the church in the world that is around us. And what I mean by that is getting back to what the church really exists for. And all of that is centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel, as the scriptures call it. And that's what we want to be. And so I want to just encourage you, and I want to tell you that God is using you. God is using your gifts. Those of you watching us online that are staying connected and committed, God is using your gifts, your sacrifice, your ministry, your service. He's using it to impact people, people's lives. People's lives are being impacted by the things that we're doing as a church, and we want to give God all of the glory for it, all of it. And so we also want to encourage you to just continue to excel in this grace of giving as you have. So as we kind of think about that and now move into a little bit more of just understanding what it means to serve, as I explained earlier, I want to start with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you to see, but this scripture makes it very clear, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That really could be it for our day today, that phrase. We could stop right there and have enough to chew on. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. We serve in the strength that God supplies in order that something happens, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's so interesting when you see the way that Peter, the apostle who wrote this, the way that he writes this in 1 Peter 4 is he's writing truth. And then in the middle of writing truth, he has to end it in a doxology because the spirit in him just wants to give praise to God. And that's why he ends it. To him be glory, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He is just overflowing with thanksgiving to God because he is amazed that God wants to use him. And we should all approach it the same way. This is probably my favorite scripture on the topic of serving, and it's for that purpose. Because Peter writes it as truth followed by a prayer or doxology. As each has received a gift. Think about what that means. As each has received a gift. Now, Peter's writing this letter. So if we look at 1 Peter, the whole letter, he's writing it to believers. So he has believers in mind here. So when he says as each, what he means is those of you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, you've committed your life to honor him, to glorify him, to live for him. And so he's writing this to you and he's saying as each of those people has received a gift, each believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have a gift. And that gift, according to what is written here, is to be what? Used. The gift is to be used. It's not to be stored. It's not to be put away. It's not to be, you know, worked on. It's not to be perfected. It's to be used. Use it to serve one another. Now, the one another there would be believers. It would be first, primarily, not only, but primarily in mind here, 1 Peter 4, Peter has believers in mind. Use it to serve one another, each other. Those of you that are belonging to a local church, serve one another in this way. And if you do that, what are you? Look at the scripture there. Look at the text, 1 Peter 4. You are a good steward. Think about that. If you use the gift that God has given you to serve one another, what are you? You're a good steward. of what? He doesn't say a good steward of the gift. He says you're a good steward of God's grace. In other words, the grace of God on you to save you, that he's poured on you, one of the ways that you demonstrate that you steward that grace rightly is by serving and using your gift to serve one another. So, do you want to be a good steward of the grace that God has given to you? Do you want to be a good steward of the grace that God has given to you? Then use the gifts that he's given you to serve. Serve one another. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord's church. That's what Peter's saying here. And why? Why do we do that? He even gives us the reason why. He tells us why. So that in everything, God may be glorified. So that in everything, in all the using of the gifts, as every person doing this, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Christ belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. It's almost as if Peter gets this glimpse that's probably given to him by the Holy Spirit of the entire church working, using their gifts that God has given, that the Spirit has given them, in unison for the glory of God. And that picture of the church doing that brings Peter to say to Christ belongs this glory and dominion forever and ever. So all believers need to understand their calling to serve. All believers need to understand their calling to serve. This means that we should not have to recruit. Really, we shouldn't, because recruiting would almost seem to indicate that we need to demonstrate that there's something you should do, but every believer should already know that. God has called you to serve, each of us. We simply want, what we should be doing as a church, instead of recruiting, is just coming around you, equipping you, and mobilizing you for that service, deploying you, releasing you into service and ministry for the Lord's sake. And doing it very purposefully designed around how God has wired you. See, what we don't want to do is we don't want to say, well, here's what the church is doing and we need you to fit into it. What we really want to do is say, here's how God has wired and gifted you, and the church needs to adjust to those things because God is bringing people to accomplish his purpose and his will. And that's the difference between a church that may be program-driven and a church that may be, instead of program-driven, really driven by how God is seeking to accomplish his purpose and will through the people that he has brought to that church. And that is what we're seeking to do. So, what are the specific qualifications we're looking for in those who serve? I just have three specific qualifications I want to share with you, and they're very, very simple. Very simple, very easy to understand, and you probably have heard them all before. And I would say that these would qualify you to be fit to serve. And the first one is this: faithful. Faithful is defined as loyal, steadfast in allegiance, reliable. That's more of a dictionary definition. But Luke 16:10, Jesus is speaking here and he says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. And so he's talking about faithfulness here. And Jesus says this in Luke 16. I'm only taking one verse, but if you were to look at the whole chapter, or at least this part, you would see that he is telling a parable here about an unfaithful manager. Someone who's been entrusted with something and is not faithful with what they've been entrusted with. And Jesus is saying that someone who has been unfaithful in the little small things will be unfaithful in the bigger things. So be faithful in the little and the small, and you will be faithful in the much, is the principle that he's giving here. And so what he's doing is Jesus is calling his followers to faithfulness. And we need to be the kind of people who are faithful in serving people who do what they say they're going to do. That's part of faithfulness, isn't it? You do what you say you're going to do. That is faithfulness. And that's what we're looking for. People who are faithful to God, faithful in serving the Lord, faithful in the small, faithful in the medium, faithful in the big, in the large. Just faithful. Faithful to God. And for us as a church, being faithful in service also has to carry another meaning to it. It also has to carry the meaning of faithfulness to the gospel. So when we talk about being faithful in service, one of the things we're saying is you're going to understand that as a church, if you're going to serve here, we're going to call you to faithfulness, not just in the service that you're doing, but also faithfulness to the gospel in the service that you're doing. Because the Lord does not need people trying to serve him while being unfaithful to his true gospel. Wouldn't you agree? We already have too much of that in our world. We already have too much of people trying to serve God in a way that they think is service to God while being unfaithful to the very gospel of God that he has entrusted to us through the scriptures and through the person of Jesus Christ. So we're seeking to be faithful. Second, available. Again, these aren't hard. This is defined as ready for use, accessible, being at someone's disposal, in this case, God's. To be available to serve means you have time. But you have time because you make time to serve. See, service to God is not leftover time. You almost could look at service to God the way that you look at finances. You don't, I hope, in your finances give God leftovers, and in time we shouldn't give God leftovers. We should be intentional about how we're giving time to God in service. Not leftover time, but intentional time. This is time I've committed to God to serve him, serve his church for the glory of God. It also means that you're in the present. You're in the moment. You're not distracted. Someone who is available. If you're available, you're there. You're not there in body and gone in mind and spirit, but you're there all there. You serve with your body, your mind, and your spirit. They're all there and all available to God. Available. Isaiah 6:8 is part of that passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah is seeing this vision before God. And in verse 8, he says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me." And so Isaiah, in this amazing picture that he has in Isaiah 6 of seeing God in his glory, he hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who is going to go for the Lord's sake?" And Isaiah didn't wait for someone else to answer. He simply said, "I'm here." He basically said, "I'm available. I'm available. Send me." He didn't say, "I'm most qualified." He didn't say, "I'm the best person for the job." He just said, "I'm available." In fact, if we look back to the verses prior, he was confessing his sin to God. So you would think he disqualified himself because he was saying how sinful he was. He was just talking about the fact that he's lost, and he said, "I'm unclean." Yet he responds to God later with, "Here I am, send me." I think we'd say that he understood availability. Availability is about time. It's about making time. It's about priorities. It's about where serving and your priorities in life fit. And it's about making it a priority in your life to serve the Lord. And the reality is that too many are missing the blessing of serving the Lord and his church just because we're not making the time. And because our priorities don't include serving the Lord as part of the priority structure. And going back to 1 Peter 4, then we would say we're not stewarding the grace of God as we should. So I want to encourage each of you. I want to encourage you, make availability a priority in your life. Because that's the only way it'll happen. Make yourself available to serve the Lord. Make it a priority to use your gifts. God has given you something, and he wants to do something with it. Use it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to use it for his glory. So make it a priority in your life. Make it a priority to use your gifts in some specific way to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's church. And this is for all of us. Your stage of life, because many of us are in different stages of life, but your stage of life should not determine if you serve. It should only clarify where and how you serve. Your stage of life, it shouldn't make the determination of if you serve. It should only clarify where and how you serve. Because when it comes to stages of life, it's all different. You know, my kids are young, so I don't have time right now. I have teenagers, so I don't have time right now. We can always find reasons why with our stage of life kind of saying, this is a reason why. But the reality is that the stage of life shouldn't determine if you serve. It should really just clarify for you where and how you're serving. So I want to encourage even parents of teens, encourage your teenagers to serve. It's a good practice for them. What do you think will happen to a teenager who can go their entire teen years and rarely, if ever, serving in church ministry, especially if they're a part of a church? How connected do you think they'll stay to the church? One of the best ways to ensure that your teens stay connected to local church after high school graduation, and it's not about going to church, it's about staying connected to a community of believers that are living out the gospel in community together. That's what it's about. But one of the best ways for that to happen is to allow them to serve in the church in their teen years when they have time and learn how to work with others in gospel ministry. They can see firsthand what ministry looks like. They can see the impact that it's having firsthand. It's not so much what people are telling them, it's about what they're experiencing even in their life. We all need to make availability in serving a priority. That's something we all need to do. We all need to make availability in serving a priority as part of our commitment to the Lord in being a good steward of the grace that he has given to us. And in our church, there are so many opportunities for you in different areas to serve. Many, many different ways to get involved and to serve. So this is another one, the area and the idea of available, being available. Third is teachable. Teachable. This is defined as openness and willingness to receive instruction and correction. And this is an important part of what it means to serve, to have this spirit and openness. To be teachable means that you acknowledge you have something to learn. You're going into it with the approach that I don't know everything, and I am willing to learn. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so what you see here in this text, which is Paul writing to Timothy, he's helping him become a man of God, a leader, and he's telling him, hey, you need to understand something about Scripture. Scripture does something for us. It teaches us, which means you have to be willing to learn. It reproves us. Reproof. It means sometimes we need to be reproved. It has correction to it. It means that sometimes we need to be corrected. And training. Training in what? Well, in training in righteousness. We need to be trained in righteousness. And that training comes from Scripture. And so this whole idea of being a disciple always has the meaning and the idea of being teachable. We need servants who are humble enough to receive instruction, receive guidance, receive correction, receive reproof. None of us here know it all. We all need that. We all need that correction. In the movie The Polar Express, one of my movies I like to watch at around Christmas or at Christmas time, there's a boy in that movie that acts like he knows everything. And in fact, at one point in the movie, the characters refer to him as know-it-all. And in the credits of the movie, he is even listed as know-it-all. And the reality is that none of us are know-it-alls. None of us. I am, please don't think that I am the lead pastor, and many of you are going, we already know that you don't know it all. You don't have to tell us. But that's not why I'm in this role. There are specific things that God has called me to do in this role, and I'm simply trying to fulfill them just as you are. But none of us are know-it-alls. We all need teaching. We all need reproof. We all need correction. We all need teachable people to serve. That's what we need. Teachable people to serve. They're a blessing to work with. And those who realize that they're learners, and this is what a disciple is. A disciple, you sign up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have signed up to be a learner. You're going to learn. And you're willing to learn. So do you receive instruction well? Are you able to be redirected? Are you defensive or combative? In order to serve with the right spirit, we need to be teachable. So those are three areas, qualifications. We're not looking for the next Apostle Paul. We're just looking for, although that would be fine. It would be absolutely fine. We're just looking for people who understand that they're called to serve by Christ himself. And in their serving, they need to be faithful, they need to be available, and they need to be teachable. And all three need to be present. Because available and teachable does not mean much if you're not faithful, reliable, and dependable. And how much does being faithful mean if you're never available to be faithful? So yes, you may be faithful and teachable, but if you are available, that's going to make those other qualities stand out even more. You need to prioritize the availability as well. And what good is it to be faithful and available if you're not teachable? And you resist instruction and correction, making it difficult for others to work with you. We need to remember these three impactful truth statements about serving the Lord in this way. I'll go over them quickly. First, being faithful makes it possible for others to trust you. When you're faithful in service and you're working with other people, it's very easy for them to trust you because you have given that to them, that credibility. Being available makes it possible for people to depend on you. Because when you're available, they know they can depend on you with reliability. And then finally, when you think about teachable, being teachable makes it possible for people to serve joyfully alongside you. So which of these are is problematic for you. One of them maybe more. And will you commit to growing in these areas? Will you commit to finding a place to serve in 2021, making yourself available? Because we just need faithful, available, and teachable. And as pastors and the church, we're going to come alongside you. This is the role that we have, to come alongside you, to equip you where there's equipping needed, to train where there's training needed, to mobilize, to deploy, release you into service and ministry for the Lord's sake. So no matter your situation, I truly believe that as a church, we can find a place for you to serve the Lord, His church, and other people. If you're interested in teaching or mentoring, or maybe you love curriculum and looking over that kind of thing, or discipling others, let Pastor Carl know as he puts his spiritual development team together, if those things are things that are you feel are in line with your gifts. Are you interested in outreach to the homeless or those in recovery, or outreach in the food pantry, or helping with the clothes closet, or helping people maybe with financial budgeting? Maybe that's something you're good at, or even just transportation. You're willing to pick people up and take them places when they can't get them there, when they can't do it themselves. Or maybe you can't leave the house, but you're willing to write cards, or just you have the gift of intercession. You'll pray for people, encouraging people. There is a place and a way for you to serve. There's a place for everyone. We can work with anyone on this with just available, teachable, and faithful people, servants. And so would you commit to being one? To just say, I'm going to commit to being faithful, available, and teachable as the Lord is working in me. And then remember why we serve in this way. 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Everything we do it for the glory of God, even in the way that we serve. So let's pray together. Lord God, may we be good stewards of the grace that you have given to us by recognizing that each one of us as Christians and believers have been given a gift to serve you. Help us to use those gifts the way that you desire. So Lord, from the body, I pray for willingness, availability, faithfulness, the desire to be teachable. And then, Lord, I pray for us as leaders and pastors of the church. Help us to come alongside each and every person to help them grow, be equipped, trained, mobilized for service in the way that you have called us to do that. To come alongside people so that they can serve the Lord the way that you desire for them to. We look forward to how you will bring all of this together in this church for your glory and honor. Each and every person, each and every gift being used to bring you glory. Do this work, Lord, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.